Are we going to do the elder nomination during this service also?
Yes.
Okay. I'm assuming now, not now, later.
Now.
Now. Okay.
I'll finish it first.
Okay. There is a change. Committees in session will meet today, even though this is the first Sunday. All the committees will meet. Please note whether your committee will meet or not. Please fill out the RSVP for our Wednesday night dinner. It's chicken noodle soup. Youth, please note that you do have dress rehearsal and play practice this afternoon. That's all the announcements.
This is the last Wednesday night.
This is the last Wednesday night.
Supper before Christmas. Also, the committees are, everything has changed a week because next week the
Christmas plays
and the children will present the Christmas plays. So there's a reason for all of that.
Right. The cantata is going to be... The Christmas cantata will be next Sunday during worship service, so please make plans to attend that. That's all the announcements I will touch on. Are there announcements that we need to make from the congregation this morning? No announcements?
If you have a love load, you can just bring it and...
Places here on the altar. Some are still coming in. Please be sure and register your attendance in the pads that have been passed out. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests? Peggy just told me Teresa Bell's mother passed away yesterday. Is that right? Do you know any details? Okay. I think the funeral will be... Okay. Visitation, possibly Wednesday, funeral Thursday. Not sure yet. Any other prayer requests? Pam Baker called the house this morning. I think she said Jim is down with the flu. So... And it is that time of year, so please pray for Jim. Are there others? Mm-hmm. Any prayer requests? Okay. Please, those that we have mentioned this morning, please note those that are on the prayer list. Please continue to remember our nation, leaders, loved ones, armed forces, those that are serving wherever they may be. If you could bow your heads for a moment of silence. Come in. Now, Larry, I'll turn it over to you.
Once a year, we have a congregational meeting to elect elders. And since we have two services, we have to go to... figured out we had to have 2 days to do this, or two Sundays, one to nominate and then one to elect. So today we will offer the nominees and give you opportunity to make additional nominees from nominations from the floor, and then next week, well, the second service will be given the same opportunity, and next week we will be able to vote, because if the reason we have to do that, the second service happened to nominate somebody and you didn't know about them, you wouldn't have opportunity to vote for them. And because you wouldn't know it because you had already been home today if we did it all in one day. In the confession of faith, where do we get all this? And if you don't have a confession of faith and are interested in the church, the work of the church, the information about the church, everywhere from our basic beliefs as they are put together in concise form with scripture references given, this is a confession of faith. It has in it our confession, what we believe. Then it has a constitution, how we operate and what, how you do things. And hopefully it's in a decent and orderly manner. And then in the second part, or the third part, you have the rules of discipline. And we probably need to use them more than we do to discipline people who are out of order. Usually it's used when a preacher gets in a predicament. And that's the only time in 40 years have I seen it be used to my memory. And then at the back, the fourth section is a directory of worship. And then that's guidance for how to conduct a communion service, how to conduct a worship service, et cetera, et cetera. How to conduct a funeral, how to conduct a marriage, are guidelines for that. And then the fifth section, rules of order, like Robert's rules of order, though we have kind of a special group of rules that we go by, and if it's not mentioned in those, the last statement says, go to Robert's rules of order. So we might get to that. Steve is our stated clerk, or we call him session clerk, and that's the secretary of the official board, one way to put it. And I'm explaining all of this because I know some of you are new to our church, and to kind of let you know what's going on. So, I declare this congregational meeting open, and let us open with prayer. Lord God, we come to do the business of the church, and we seek your leadership and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. And Steve, I think we've stated the purpose, but you want to state it again and then declare who, tell who has been nominated.
I make a motion that the board be open for nomination for session 2005-2007. Nominees today are Paul Kimball, Teresa Justice, and Charles Strasser. So I hear any other nominations.
What the session has done is placed these names in nomination. But you as a member of the church have opportunity to make additional nominations. If, after a period of time, if there are no others, it would be proper to somebody move that the nominations cease for this service and we'll basically keep it open through the next service. We can't proceed to elect till next week. Are there other nominations? Cease. Discussion. Okay. All in favor of that for this service, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. Okay, the 10-15 group will do the same thing, and if they have additional nominations, we will inform you. And then we'll have a ballot if there are additional nominations. If there are no additional nominations, we can elect by acclamation because we elect three. And they will replace, it's in the bulletin, but they will replace
Judith Omar,
James Sharpton, John Rippey. Okay. And John and Sam are on a mission trip to Pensacola. Richard was on the last one. They're going back to do more work, Richard. And I think Kim Glasscock is with them. Who else from this church? Joe and Nancy is there, and Joe and David England. And maybe Mr. Glasscock, we didn't get a final word on that. Okay? Any other thing to come before the congregation? That was just an announcement. Any other business to come before the congregation at this time? I declare this congregational meeting over for the nomination of elders. We will continue next week. God bless you.
We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive if you will turn in your bulletins. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Rejoice with one another and praise God's name. All glory to the Lord.
I'd like for you to stand. We're going to turn to page 120. Words are new, but the tune is very, very familiar. Once you hear it, hear Melanie play it, you will know the tune. So stand while we sing this morning. Both verses, please.
Advent of our God, with eager hearts we greet, and we must praise Him in this hour with hymns and anthems sweet. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us free, with Father, Spirit, ever one, through all eternity.
And may we sing the first verse over again.
The advent of our God, with eager hearts we greet, and we must praise Him in this hour with hymns and anthems sweet.
Thank you. Would you bow your heads? And Advent means the coming. The coming of our God, when God put on human form and was born in Bethlehem. But there's another advent that we anticipate, when Jesus comes again to claim His children. Let us pray. Lord God, for that first advent, we remember and we rejoice. And right now, you know that we're in this period of celebration. And Lord, we pray that we could remember throughout this month that we're really celebrating Your coming to earth in the person of Jesus. Coming to save us. Coming to abide with us. And coming to prepare us for an eternity with You. Lord, we just thank You for this period of time. We thank You for this season. Lord, we thank You for these hymns and songs and carols that we can offer praise to You. Lord, we pray as we have gathered to worship this morning that it might be in truth and in spirit that we worship as You have called us to do. And Lord, help us to know Your presence. Lord, we'd even ask that we could feel You this morning. But we know, Lord, Your word has emphasized that where we're gathered in Your name, even two or three, that You're in the midst. And we have come in Your name. And Lord, we have Your word, Your scripture, Your book. And we know that You speak to us even today through that word. And Lord, this special day we have the sacrament, the way that You gave us to remember You. And Lord, we pray especially that You would reveal Yourself anew through this sacrament. In Christ's name, we offer this our prayer, praying even as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
There was one prayer request that I did forget to mention was Lori Robertson.
Yes.
She has been diagnosed with MS. So we need to keep that family in our prayers. We express our faith in God this morning by our statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal. And it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, and now and ever shall be, world without end.
We have a medley of Christmas songs, if you'll stand with me. Because of our time and so forth this morning, we're going to do the first verse of each one of these. We'll start with page 136 and move to 141 and then 151. So stand while we sing the first verse of each of these.
To start time for shepherds in fields where they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, Noel, Noel.
All right, page 141.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
And finally, Good Christian Men Rejoice, page 151.
Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before Him bow, and He is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today.
Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated.
David and Steve and Mr. Haywood, you have another ordained elder present this morning. Come forward, please, and assist. Mr. Duncan, would you come and see us? Communion. The Lord's Supper. The Last Supper. The Eucharist. Or the Mass. Numerous names given to this experience. We usually refer to it as the service of Holy Communion, referring to us communing with God the Father and Jesus the Son, also communing with those who have gone on before us, who were people of the faith. Probably the most popular reference to the service of communion is the Last Supper, maybe because of a famous painting, the Last Supper. The supper that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted as a way for us to remember Him. The disciples and Jesus met in an upper room on the night when Jesus was arrested, before His arrest. They celebrated the Passover, remembering the freeing of the Israelites from Egypt under the leadership of Moses, remembering the sacrificial lamb that was sacrificed, the blood spread over the lintel of the door or on the doorpost of the households of the Israelites as a sign that the Israelite family lived there, and the death angel, the last plague of the 10 plagues to get Pharaoh to release the Israelites from captivity, death angel would pass over those houses. The Israelites had been instructed to prepare the lamb and unleavened bread and be ready to leave at a moment's notice. And they were. So Jesus and the disciples met together to remember this experience, being good Jewish students, participants, and while they were there, at the supper, to close the supper, Jesus instituted a new supper, a new remembrance, a remembrance of what was about to happen in His life. He was about to give His life. His body was soon to be broken. His blood was soon to be shed. The body broken to pay for our sins, blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. A new covenant to replace this Passover covenant. We have these words of instruction from the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and following. Paul says, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." So Paul had instructed the Corinthian church before, but he proclaims the first phrase there that he received from the Lord. The Lord revealed this to him. He says that the Lord Jesus, in the night when He was betrayed, took bread, When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as we come, we're not only here to remember, but we're here to proclaim. We proclaim, maybe to ourselves, again, yes, the Lord died for me. And we proclaim to those around us, yes, the Lord died for me to provide me forgiveness, if I would have it. Who is welcome at this table? All who believe in Jesus as their Savior. This is not Cumberland Presbyterian Church's table, not Deacon Church's table. It's the Lord's table. And all who believe in Him as their Lord and Savior, all who are trusting Him, are welcome, invited, even encouraged, to eat and to drink, remembering what God, through Christ, has done for us. Let us offer thanks for the bread. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bread that sustains us each day. But we thank you especially today for this bread that represents Christ's body, the Messiah's body, the Savior's body, the body of Jesus. Lord, as we take it into ourselves, we are taking Him into our lives, symbolically so. And we thank you for this way to remember that He gave His life for us. And Lord, help us in no way to ever disgrace. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated, remembering His body, and serve your neighbor. The cup, the fruit of the vine, representing His blood. Blood shed, as the scriptures say, for the remission of sins. Matthew even adds the word, or includes the word, many, for the remission of the sins of many. I'm one of those many, and included in that many. And I come with thanksgiving that His blood has cleansed me of sin, that I put my faith in His death for my forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for the cup, the fruit of the vine. But we thank you especially for Jesus giving His life for us. It's in His name that we offer this prayer and drink this cup. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Please start to think. Thank you.
We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Could our ushers come forward at this time?
Let us pray. Righteous Father, we show love in many ways, but one is to obey your request and share what we have. Thank you again for this opportunity. Through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning will be read by Jessica Tucker.
Our scripture for today comes from Matthew chapter 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Missionaries. I guess the title says the missionary. That's one of the gifts that God has given to His church for the spread of the gospel, the gift of missionary. How many has ever known a missionary? Just if you've known a missionary. Anybody? Okay. How many has ever been a missionary? You may have been one and not know it, unintentionally. Somebody may have been a positive missionary, and some may have been a negative missionary. Hopefully not, but that's always a possibility. We had provided a outline for the service today or for the message today, if that's available to you. If you'd like to use it, please do. We talked last week about spiritual gifts, and we said that someone had counted up to 27 spiritual gifts. Others don't include all of these in a list of spiritual gifts, but I like that list because it's all inclusive, or seems to be. There may be others that even that person left out. But I want to talk this morning about the gift of missionary. Gift of being a missionary. One definition of the gift of missionary is the special ability that God gives certain members of the body of Christ, or certain believers. So that they can minister and use their other spiritual gifts in a second culture, or in a culture not your own. Like people that speak a different language are raised in a different part of the country. It hasn't been very long until the Mennonites sent missionaries, medical missionaries, to the area of the country where my wife Carol was raised. I used to joke about, my fellow students would joke about, they started it and I used it, being a missionary to Arkansas. And then later I met some people back in Tennessee who had gone to North Arkansas as a missionary with a group. And the Mennonites came to that little hamlet and established a medical practice, a medical clinic, a nursing home, and really ministered to that area. Added a campground, and they were missionaries all to Americans, but were just a different part of the country, different culture than the people of Wisconsin had come out of. And it was quite different. It was even a different culture that I came out of. And then once I was, a little interesting thing, I went to a church to speak about missions, and I was on the program with a real missionary who had served in South America. Bob Watkins is his name, and he may have spoken here one time. I'm not sure. He's visited in the community anyway. And Bob was the foreign missionary, or who had gone to a foreign field to serve. And at that time, I was helping the Hendersonville congregation get started. We call that home missions. That was about the same time this congregation was getting started. They were 7 or 8 months ahead of this congregation. And so I was going to be cute and smart, and I knew, smart alecky, and I knew how popular foreign missionaries were, and home missionaries were not so popular anywhere. And this was a rural church up in the country in Middle Tennessee, but very rural. And we went up there, and I stood up, and I was on the program first, and I was talking about missionaries, and I said, there's nothing more popular than a missionary who has been to a foreign country, and in our church, to South America, and come home on a furlough. They get all kind of praise and pats on the back and gifts, etc., etc., etc. So, but I said, I've been a missionary, and I said, I've been a missionary to Arkansas. And they didn't think that was too cute, and I was meant to be cute. And then I said, I married a native Arkansan, and they didn't think that was cute at all, so I decided it was time to get on with my message about the Hendersonville congregation. And this morning, I guess it's time to get on with the message about being a missionary, right? But it is interesting to visit with and talk with those who have become missionaries. And number one, I don't think that I have been called to be a missionary, so I'll say that. To another culture. I have enough problems adjusting to my own culture. And when I came out of that culture in Mississippi, I didn't come out to change anybody to be like a Mississippian. I allowed them to refine me. When I came out of Mississippi, I was still saying winder for window, and a few more words that people in Tennessee didn't know what I was saying. I had a different language. But I had to, if I was going to live in Tennessee, I had to learn those. Okay. 6 or 7 people. Does anybody know if Greg went on the trip or not? Did anybody talk to Kim or Greg this week? Did Greg go on the trip this morning? Or they were thinking they were going to leave this morning or maybe yesterday? He did not make it. So 6 people from this congregation have gone to Pensacola, Florida to use their talents or their gifts to help people there as they attempt to recover from one of the hurricanes, and there were 4, and I believe it's Ivan, the one that hurt them so most. I told Sam Suddeth a number of years ago, not sure how many, that if he would go on these work trips, and this is a work mission trip, as well as hopefully sharing some of themselves, but they're going mainly to Christian communities. Though in every Christian community there are those that need to be witnessed to. But I told Sam if he'd go on these mission trips, work trips, that I would help raise the money. I think I said I'll raise the money, and then I said, or help do it. I had a second thought. Might be difficult. And then the wonderful thing has happened. I haven't had to raise one penny. But every time that the trip, the need is there, the money has been available. I haven't done anything really but tell the story that I promised Sam that we'd raise the money to send him on mission trips, and now he's done taking 5 more people and they're going on the mission trip. And so and that's that Mississippi word, but Tennessee also, y'all, right? I say it a little bit different than y'all say it here. But he's taking 5 more people and helping them become, we call them short-term missionaries. A month ago, Richard was on one of these experiences. Who else has been out of this church on a mission? Short-term, long-term mission. Out of another church, been on a short-term mission. And some of them gone to Florida. That's a different culture in the United States, but a different culture, right? And you have to have special abilities to go and live with it. Some went to the children's home. Now, Even the college campus. We sent some people to youth. And did you go to the college campus? Okay. You went to the children's home. Yeah. Yeah. That's a different culture too when you get there. They're away from mom and daddy, but y'all happened to go in the summer when it was the best students were there, I guess. Not the worst students. Okay. Why do we do missions? We talk about mission work. Why do we do missions? Because Jesus tells us to. Okay? Because Jesus tells us to. Because there's a need for them also. Parting words. And if you notice, I'm not preaching on that, but if you notice in this scripture lesson this morning, Jesus started this with "all authority has been given to me." So he has all the authority of heaven to say this. So Jesus, with all the authority of heaven, okay, just go back and read that two or three times and then consider what that means. All the authority of heaven. His parting words, according to Matthew, tell us to go and be missionaries. The Great Commission. We're commissioned. Marching orders, if you will. Marching orders for missionaries. Mark records only a portion of this commission. I think it's chapter 16, verse 15. Mark is so short and concise. Mark, I bet, preached short sermons, okay? Mark recorded just a portion of this commission. Luke, in two places, Luke 24 is 47, 48, and 49. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Luke wrote the book of Acts. And so in both of those places, in the ending of the book of Luke and the beginning of the book of Acts, he recorded the words, the commission: go, make disciples, preach, teach, baptize, bring into the kingdom, add to the kingdom, add to God's kingdom. Get people ready for going to heaven. And the disciples, the 12, at least a portion of them, took these words of Jesus very seriously. The others, we just don't have a record. But a portion of them took the words very seriously. In the 6th chapter of Acts, early in the church, we see that there were Jewish Christians and Greek Christians trying to live together in peace and harmony. They were having trouble doing it. One group of women were jealous of another group of women. The Greeks are getting more than we are, or the Hebrews are getting more than we are. So they had to develop the office of deacon to distribute the food evenly. They had to appoint people to distribute the food, but they were together. They had ministered. These Jewish Christians had ministered to some Greek people. But even before that, in Acts chapter 2, where Peter was preaching that great sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 converts, there's a list of the various cultures that were present that day. Medes, Parthians. You have to turn and read them all yourself. If you can't pronounce the words, that's okay. Just the point is today that there were various cultures. These cultures had come to Jerusalem. And Peter took this opportunity while they were there to preach to them, to share the gospel. Philip. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian, the official in the Ethiopian government. And he picked Philip up in his chariot and they rode together. Acts chapter 8. And then in chapter 10 of Acts, early in the church, history, the early history of the Christian community, the Christian church, Peter preached to Gentiles, a different culture than his culture. Went to the Gentiles in Caesarea. You can find that in Acts chapter 10. So Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10. That's just the beginning of the disciples taking the instructions of Jesus seriously. Started in Jerusalem, then out through Judea, and then out through the rest of the country, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Paul did that. Paul was the great missionary. He picked it up and ran with it, so to speak, traveling all over the then known world. We know more of the world today, but the then known world. He went preaching Jesus and salvation through Jesus. Salvation through faith in Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the promised Messiah. And he was urging the people to believe. Believe in Jesus. And to put their trust or their faith in Jesus. And become members of the local church. And he encouraged them to study. And he encouraged them to learn. And he encouraged them to grow. We talked about maturity of Christians a few weeks ago. And he encouraged them to get in mission work themselves. Paul took 3 missionary journeys. Then a trip to Rome. He was arrested and he didn't have much choice to go to Rome. If he'd kept his mouth shut, he wouldn't have had to go. But he kept declaring that he was a Roman citizen and he wanted to go and go before the Roman authorities. And so the people in charge allowed him to go. They had no other choice, really, if he demanded that. But he took that trip to Rome as a prisoner. But even while he was a prisoner, he kept preaching another community that he could go to and proclaim the gospel, to share Jesus Christ, to tell them that put your faith in Jesus. He's the Savior. You can't save yourselves. The law can't save you. You've got to trust in Jesus. And while Paul was there in prison, he wrote letters of encouragement to the various churches and to the young ministers like Timothy and Titus. Now, we said all of this about New Testament, but missionary activity was not limited to the New Testament. We also find it in the Old Testament. Go back to Genesis chapter 12, where God called Abraham, and God said to Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm really going to bless you. But you've got to be a blessing to all peoples, to all of the peoples of the earth, not just your descendants, but to all of the people of the earth." That covenant between Abraham and God, those instructions from God, basically what it was, that agreement was later repeated to Abraham again. I think it's in the 18th chapter. And then the same covenant was repeated to Isaac's, Abraham's son. And then it was stated again to Jacob, Isaac's son. Genesis 18, Genesis 22, Genesis 26, and Genesis 28. So go back and read Genesis and you'll find this instructions to be a blessing, or to be missionaries, if you will. Take God to all the peoples of the earth. One person listed 58 references to missions in the Old Testament. These include a reference in Zephaniah. Haven't read that book recently, have you? Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 11. Nations of every shore will worship him. And how are they going to worship him, God? How are they going to worship God unless somebody's gone to tell them? Nations of every shore will worship God. And then Malachi, chapter 1, 10 and 11. God says, "My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun." All the nations, wherever the sun comes up or wherever the sun goes down. And then we know the great story in the book of Jonah. Jonah's life. How Jonah was sent to be a missionary to a people he hated. And he went and preached to them. Well, he tried to run off and escape, but he couldn't escape. And then he finally, out of desperation, or to get a little relief, he went to preach to the Ninevites, and lo and behold, they believed. They turned to God. They repented. The king repented and ordered everybody else to repent. And if they didn't repent, they'd get their heads chopped off. Likely. So he had great success as a missionary in the town of Nineveh. And it made him so mad. He didn't want to go to those people of a different culture. They were not likable people, he didn't think, or at least he didn't like them. He pouted and he cried, but he went as a missionary. And finally submitted himself to God. I found one little list in the New Testament. I said 57 or 58 in the Old Testament. 58 in the Old Testament, one list that somebody compiled. And then I found one, same person compiled a 21-point list in the New Testament. Not my list. There's no question that God wants the whole world to know Him. God says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be enter therein." But that's not His wish. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any person could be separated from Him. He wants us all to be in fellowship with Him. He wants the whole world to be praising Him. And has chosen to use those who do know Him to reach out to those who do not know Him. And that's our purpose as missionaries. That's our purpose for Friend Day. That's our purpose to going on long-term or short-term mission trips. There are other ways than just go and tell people Jesus loves you. You can feed the hungry. Melanie talked about giving water to a thirsty person. Then they will be able to sit down and listen if you give them a little food too. Or helping with housing. Or sending clothing. A cold, naked person cannot listen till they get warm, can they not? Or give water, or give medical help. We may not have the gift of missionary, but what I have learned that I can encourage and I can help, and I can help support financially, and I can pray for those who do have that gift. Many other spiritual gifts that we can use to help those who have the gift of missionary. One of them is the gift of health. And Mr. Thompson, he told me just the other day, he said years ago, he and his wife determined that they had the gift of health, helping other people. Right, Mr. Thompson? Helping other people. He couldn't go and do this, but he could help somebody else. We talked about this over coffee last week, I believe it was. He can help somebody else. One way you can help other people is by giving. Giving your financial resources, prayer support. Just pray and pray and pray for those missionaries. Intercession, that's a gift itself. And then some people might go as administrators. I have one acquaintance. I don't know him personally, just know about him. He's a printer and he's gone to Africa to work in a printing situation. I'm so glad that Jenkins Church is becoming a missionary church, and it certainly is. Meal on Wheels, that's missionary work. Love Loaf, Operation Christmas Child. Maybe your gift is that of missionary. Maybe that's your primary gift and you just haven't discovered it yet. I'll talk to you about it. Maybe that's your secondary gift. I want to call your attention to the back of your bulletin. You know, take that and read it. That's a touching story. It speaks to church officers and church boards or the church session. Now, the closing song is a challenge song. It's Go Tell It on the Mountain. What are we going to tell? Tell it in the valley too, but what are we going to tell? That Jesus Christ is born. That He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Peggy, if you'll come and lead us in 138. We'll stand together and sing.
Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we can meet him at the table this morning. And we thank you that we can hear about him in your word and hear from him in your word. And Lord, we thank you that he is faithful. We can trust him, and we have trusted him. We are trusting him. Lord, we pray that you would so motivate us that through our words and our actions, we would reveal Jesus to all that we come in contact with. In his holy name we pray.